Okay, Proverbs chapter number 1 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 1. And we'll start with verse number 7. As of last week, we gave a definition of all the 10 words that it starts out the book of Proverbs, and we came down through verse number 6. And so now we're going to start kind of a verse by verse, not completely, but more of a verse by verse look at the book of Proverbs. And so let's start with verse number 7, and we'll read from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all prosperous substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain they have the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lie wait for their own blood and lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places, the concourse, and the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hath knowledge? Turn at thy reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words to you, because I have called, and ye have refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But he that set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproofs. I will also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hate knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Let's pray. Father, I thank you now for the book of Proverbs. It teaches us a lot about living and how we're supposed to behave ourselves. Think of you, be guided by you, and have a life that you have provided for us. One of prosperity, one of strength, one of peace, one of power, one of wisdom, one of knowledge. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd meet with us and teach us simply what we need to learn from the book of Proverbs, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We learned last week that as we begin the book of Proverbs, it's kind of a parenthetical or explanatory verses, but it's also written in a poetical form. And starting with verse number 7, we see this. Now, from chapter 1, verse 7, to chapter 9, verse 18, is the first division in the book of Proverbs. This division is called the father-son relationship. Notice how many times the father says the things that will help his son all their life. Notice he says, my son. Notice verse number 8, he saith, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 15, my son, walk not in the way with them refrain thy foot from their path. First, chapter 2, if you look. Verse number 1, although we didn't read it. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide thy commandments within thee. And then look in chapter 3 in verse number 1. Chapter 3 in verse number 1. Let me turn there. Chapter 3 in verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keepeth my commandments. So all through chapter 1, verse 7, through chapter 9, verse 18, we see constant commandments where the Father is speaking to the Son. Our Heavenly Father wants us to know some things. It's very important that we learn some things. It's just like a father sitting down with his son and saying, look, here son, let me show you something here. That's what he's talking about. It's that kind of relationship. It's that kind of relationship that God wants to have with you and me. Our Heavenly Father is looking to teach you and me some things. It's like a mama sitting down with a daughter and saying, let me show you how to do this. Let me show you how this is going to help you. Let me show you where you should go on this. It's just a parent-child relationship. One of looking out for that which is most important in your life as we train our children. We all train our children to avoid things that will harm them and grasp on to things that will help them. For example, when our children are little, we say to them, don't cross the street. Don't run across the street. Stop. Look both ways. Isn't that what we teach them? And we say, oh, don't run out there. No, wait. Don't do that. Well, we're trying to stop them from being injured. They don't understand that a car coming at 25 miles an hour, even at the slow speed, what we would call a slow speed, 25 miles an hour, hits a child, that's a little child, when the head hits the pavement, more than likely, 9 times out of 10, that child will die. That 1% or that 10% where they don't die will be severely brain damaged the rest of their life. Why? Because we want that child to live a good life. We want that child to have a life. So we say, no, don't run out in the street. Wait, stop, hurt, wait. Listen, Daddy says, hold my hand when we cross the street. Mama says, hold my hand when we cross the street. We cross the street, we stop, we look both ways, we make sure nobody's coming, and then we walk across the street. Oh, or we go to the light, and we cross at the light. When the light is red on this way and green on this way, that means we can go. And so we teach them things that are important. That's the kind of relationship from chapter 1 and verse number 7 through chapter 9, verse 18, that God is trying to establish with His children. Very important steps. When we look in the first chapter, there are four basic instructions in chapter number 1 from the Father to the Son. The first one is found in verse number 7. Look what it says. It says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's look now at the list of words that we learned here. God said, the Lord's giving us this commandment, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What is knowledge? Let's go back and look at that word. An awareness to gain through experience. Awareness gained through experience. So God wants to give us some awareness in our lives so that we can gain some things. He wants us to be aware of some things so it becomes a gain for us. So He doesn't want us to go through life ignorantly. He's trying to instruct us here. And He says here, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the opposite of retaining this knowledge or of gaining the experience, God says, is a foolish step of despising wisdom and instruction. So what is wisdom in our definition? We found that wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. And also to know oneself and one's God and how to behave before our neighbor. God wants us to know ourselves. He wants us to know our relationship with Him. And He wants us to know how we ought to behave before others. I want God to know me and I want to know God. That's what wisdom is. And how things are supposed to be so that when I am before my neighbor, I handle myself and behave myself correctly. I judge what's the right way to behave and what's the wrong way to behave. So I do the right thing. That's what wisdom is. Looking at life then from God's perspective or God's view. Looking at myself correctly and how to behave before my neighbor correctly. So when I don't have the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge then, I am taking the position of a fool and saying God's wisdom isn't important to me. To know life from God's point of view, know myself from God's point of view, and how to behave before my neighbor isn't important. Not only that, I'm despising instruction. What is instruction? Instruction comes from the Hebrew word chastisement, or also known as reproof or restraint or rebuke. It's a warning. Or we found out this. Altogether, it means an authoritative direction to be obeyed. So when we don't take this, God says we're acting the fool, and we're not taking His authority as the direction in which we're supposed to go. He wouldn't be taking the time to teach us this if it wasn't important. So God's telling us, the Lord's telling us, that we need to fear Him. And if not, we're being foolish. We have no knowledge. We have no understanding. We have no reverence. We have no awe. By the way, the fear of the Lord is just that. To reverence, to respect, or to hold in the high authority or awe that which is God. The fear of the Lord, or to hold and respect God. This world today has become extremely foolish. The more I talk to people, 40 and under, the more foolish I find we are. We have no respect for God. No, people have no problem saying the Bible is not the Word of God. They have no problem saying homosexuality is what we ought to embrace. We have no problem saying lying is okay. We have no problem saying getting drunk and drinking liquor is fine with everybody, including God. We have no moral character. We have no moral compass. And America is in trouble because America no longer fears God or holds God in respect. Our churches are trying to do everything they can to hold people in church instead of standing for God. They will change whatever they have to change and do whatever they have to do so that people will continue to come to church, to put money in the offering plate, to make that particular building and ministry continue to go on instead of that which is right. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. And yet our churches are filled with doing wrong in order to get a chance to do right. We have left that which is the Word of God. We change the Word of God. We change the things of God. And before you know it, our reverence and respect for God is gone. And God says, so that the beginning of all of this, the beginning of now, to the beginning of the knowledge that we need is to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. Now, verse number 8, my son, he's telling us this. And hear the instruction of thy father. And forsake not the law of thy mother. What is instruction now? Remember that one of those words that we used earlier. Instruction means we need to listen to the authoritative direction that our Father's giving us. And we need to obey it. We need to listen to it. So what is it he's telling us in verse number 8? He's saying we need to chasten ourselves or reproof ourselves for the warnings that our parents are putting there, our Heavenly Father is putting there for us. For when we do that, verse 8, our father, and forsake not the law of our mother, then God is giving us some extra power. Look what it says, the law of thy mother. What is that? The word law means to rule or the conduct or the established customs. Mamas teach us how to behave, don't they? This is how a young man should speak. This is how he should dress. This is how he should behave. This is how he should treat a young lady. Don't do that. Do this. Don't hit anybody. Don't pick up that stick and smack someone. Don't throw that block across the room. Mama's given the rule or of conduct to be established. In other words, a direction. That's what moms do. They give us direction. Mama needs to. We need to follow what mama says and go to the direction that is best for us. It's amazing how that when we're young, we take that direction, then we become teenagers and we say our mamas and daddy don't know anything, we're going to go our own direction, and that's when we mess up our life the most. It's amazing how many lives are utterly destroyed and it takes the rest of our life to rebuild what we destroy in our late teenage years. Just amazing to me. So if you want wisdom, if you want what God has for us, then we're going to apply what He's given to us. So here's what he says. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they said, come with us, lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us shadow them, let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about people that are trying to intentionally hurt somebody else for their own selves. He's talking about a very selfish people. They're going about, this is evil, by the way. This is evil. But it's not unusual to see this. We see this in our day. We see this in our towns. We see this in our cities. We see this in our counties. We see this out in the country areas. We see where people get together and intentionally plan to hurt somebody else so they can take that which is theirs and make it their own. What has amazed me is that in America, we're trying to do that now through the government. We're trying to take that which is somebody else's and take it away from them and give it to those that don't have it. Or didn't work for it. Or didn't earn it. It's not theirs. So all this is what God's telling us will hurt us. He says, so what he's trying to teach us then is not to walk with this crowd. To not go with this crowd. God can't bless you if you don't obey him, he says. Notice in verse number 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. What will be? Your mama's laws, if you don't forsake them, and the instructions of your father. These are the things that are going to guide you. These are the things that are going to help you. These are the things that are going to strengthen you. They are going to be great riches to you when you get older if you start to apply them when you're young. Now look in verse number 15. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path. He's telling us to walk with the good crowd. And God's just telling us that we need to listen to our mom and dad, what they're telling us, and the directions that they're giving us to go, so that we walk in the right way. Now, if we're an adult already, and we've been saved at a later age, then what God is telling us is that we need to follow His Word. He's our Heavenly Father. And we need to be guided by what He's telling us, because these are the same mistakes we're going to make over and over again. These are the same mistakes people make over and over and over again. We make them when we're young, when we're children. Then we make them in our teenage years. Then we repeat them in our 20s. Then we repeat them in our 30s. And we repeat them in our 40s. And we repeat them in our 50s. And all through life, I've seen people go to jail for I'm going to call them most ignorant things you could do. Over and over again, making the same mistake, trying to take that which is somebody else's and make it their own, through conniving and cheating and lying, and they lay in wait for somebody and they take their money. So God says, don't walk with this crowd. What crowd? Verses 10 through 14. It says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. By the way, that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to entice us. If they say, come walk with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Notice that this is innocent people are being hurt. It's funny to me how this has even gotten into a war situation in our country and in the world today, isn't it? Let us follow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. In other words, stuff we've stolen. If today, in New York City, Chicago, Illinois, Cleveland, Ohio, Dallas, Texas, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, California, Spokane, Washington, you go around our country, big cities, if there were complete power failure in the evening and everything got dark, it would be amazing how many people would run to a store, break down the doors and the windows of the store, steal what they could, hide it in their homes for themselves. We've seen that happen over and over again in our country, haven't we? That's happened many times. Where things have broken down, where law and order has broken down, and people steal to get stuff for themselves. Not because they're hungry, but because we're greedy. We want that which is not our own. Verse 14 says this, cast in thy lot, they say, cast thy lot in among us, and let us have one purse. In other words, they want to make us one thing. They wanted us to join up with them or fraternize with them. They want us to become, for better or for worse, let's become this common thing. But Dad and Mom tell us not to do that. Look at it says in verse 15 again. My son, walk not. So God doesn't want us to walk this way. Our parents don't want us to walk this way. Verse 19, verse 16. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. In other words, they think they're not going to get caught, but they're going to get caught. And you're going to get hurt. And you're going to say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. And yes, you did. You went with them. You became a part of them. And if that's not the thing that young people say the most, I don't know what is. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, but you were in the car with them when they shot at somebody. You were in the car with them when they went into the liquor store and robbed it. You were in the car with them when they went to the gas station and stole the gas. You became a part of them. You became a part of their team. You became a part of their organization. And God says, He's telling us, He's warning us, especially as young people, walk not with this crowd. Do not go with them because you think nothing's going to happen. And you're never going to get caught. And you are. Every criminal says, they won't catch me. It's amazing how many people are in jail today because they're never going to get caught. And we think that. So look what it says in verse number 18. And they lay in wait for their own blood. In other words, it's going to be them that's going to get hurt. And they lurk privily for their own lives. So where they're laying in wait for somebody, and they're going to try to take their life away, but it's their own life they're going to lose. It may not be a loss as far as death in a situation that they're going through right there, but it's going to be death to their life throughout their life. You know, there's some memories and some things you do. Once you do them, you'll never forget the rest of your life. There's some things you just can't take back. There's some things you just cannot erase. And God's telling us that that's going to come back and bite us. That's going to come back and harm us. We think we're going to lie in wait to get the riches from somebody else, but what it really is going to do is going to destroy us. They say in verse 14, cast their lot among us and let us have one purse. We'll just do it together and we'll split it all up. It'll be just ours. But the truth is it never happens that way. Oh, it might happen that way for a little while, but sooner or later you're going to get caught. And sooner or later you're going to be hurt. And sooner or later it's going to cost you dearly for that which we've done against others. And look what God says in verse 19, for so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. That's all it is. They're just greedy. We just want that which isn't ours, which take away the life of their own, of the owners thereof. So we're going to kill these people and take what we want. Wisdom crieth out among us. She uttereth with her voice in the streets. So God's telling us that something's going on here. Wisdom is trying to tell us something. So far we've learned three of the four warnings that we have here. The first warning is fear the Lord. The second warning is to take the instruction in verse number 8. The third warning is walk in the right crowd. The fourth warning that we see here in the book of Proverbs chapter number 1 is what wisdom says. James chapter 1 verse 5 says these words. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Take your Bible and look at verse number 20 now. Wisdom crieth out. So wisdom is what's crying out here. Wisdom is saying some things to us. God's telling us we want wisdom. Here it is. It's right in the book of Proverbs. You want to know how to live? You want wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth of all men liberally. Well, here it is right here. And wisdom is crying out to us. What is wisdom saying? In verse number 22, it's saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in the scorning and fools hate knowledge. How long? He's asking how long before we start to realize we need to put some things in our life. Remember earlier on in the chapter, in the beginning of the chapter, when we learned these words, we learned that there was something here that God wanted us to have. He wants us to have some pressed things in our life. He wants us to put some pleats in our life, some guidelines in our life. He tells us that we need to have equity and stability unto the simple. So that stability is to put in things into our life that will make things stay there. Stability means to the proper manner of life and how to manage the life's economy. Remember? That's how to manage life's economy. In other words, to put pleats or folds into our life or put guidelines there to keep us from doing that which is wrong. So God says, how long are we going to love simplicity with no guidelines? Then he says, but if you listen to me, I'll pour out my spirit upon you. Let's read. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth at chief places. on the concourse, and openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. So God's telling you and I, as our Father, He's saying to us as His children, as a father to a son, as He's instructing us, He's saying, if you listen to me, I'm going to pour my spirit out upon you. Where do we get our wisdom from as we go through daily life? We get it through listening to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's where wisdom really comes from. That's what the fear of the Lord's all about. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in our day-by-day life. I can't do this on my own. I'm not going to try to do this on my own. I'm going to listen. Then He tells us, as a father to a son, now let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't listen. Have you ever told that to your child? Let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't listen to me. This is what's going to happen. Verse 26, He says, So I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. What amazing statements. So what's God telling us here? He tells us a bunch of things. Here's what He says. Desolation's coming if you don't listen to me. If you don't listen to what I'm telling you, you're going to become desolate. Fear is coming. And when fear comes and you come running to me, oh, help me, I'm scared, what am I going to do? God goes, I'm sorry. You wouldn't listen to me. Because you wouldn't listen to me, I'm not going to help you now. I told you how to stay out of trouble. There comes a time in every child's life where a parent finally has to say, listen, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. You did what I told you not to do, and now you've got to take the punishment for it. I didn't want you to go this way. I warned you not to go this way. But now you have to live with the results of what you've done. Sometimes it's a lifelong result. I wonder how many young ladies and how many young men wish they could have that one night of bliss back. Where they went out and had sexual relationships, and now they have a child. And the child's a good child. Don't misunderstand me. The child has nothing to do with it. But now they have all sorts of burdens and heartaches and heartbreaks because of that one night of disobedience to God. Now He says, not only that destruction coming, but distress will come, and anguish cometh upon you. And He's not going to answer. For why am I not going to answer? Because you hated what I told you. You hated knowledge. You did not choose. So life is a choice then, isn't it? It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. We have to live by the choices we make. That's what God's telling you and I. I knew a young man one time that made a choice as a Christian. He was saved on his way to heaven. He made a choice to steal. He was going before the court, and before the court he fasted and prayed and begged God to help him. So that the court would find them innocent. The court found them guilty of what he did. He was guilty. And they punished him to a jail sentence. And he was furious with God because God didn't intercede. But here God plainly tells us He's not going to intercede. Because we didn't choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproofs. So I'm going to eat them and let them eat of their own fruit. Listen, what you sow is what you get. You sow... Whatsoever thou sowest, thou shalt thou also reap. So God is telling us that we're going to reap what we sow. Yeah, you may be saved, and we may have heaven as our home, but we are going to reap what we sow. For the turning away from the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So destruction is coming, because we decided to follow the ways of the fool. Now let me say that I believe that there's three things that God's referring to as the foolish. I believe He's referring to the way of the world. I believe He's referring to the way of Satan. And I believe He's following the word that He's referring to the way of the flesh. Those are all foolish. They go against everything that's here. They go against that one statement we find in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. They've gone against all of that. That's where it started. And God says, but I can't do anything for you now. You made a choice. I gave you the information. You weighed it out in a way that you thought you should weigh it out. And you decided my wisdom wasn't good enough for you. So you chose your own wisdom. And you followed your own way. And so judgment comes. Remember justice? It's conformed to a right, moral right, an action and attitude, a natural, moral, or legal right. Do you remember the word judgment to pronounce a verdict in a human or divine law? Do you remember knowledge was the ability to gain through the experience? These folks decided not to do that, and as a result, they failed to get from God what they wanted. And what they wanted was for God to give them something good. Because all this comes down to discretion. You remember that word last week, discretion? That's what all this is. The word discretion means a plan. A plan or a way to choose good or bad. And they had no discretion because they would not accept God's wisdom. And they would not accept God's knowledge. They would not accept God's understanding. And so when judgment came, which is because judgment comes in here on this earth and in heaven, judgment comes, and it's because they would not gain the knowledge and the awareness that they needed, which brings us to our final statement in verse number 33. He doesn't leave us hanging. He said, this doesn't have to happen. In verse 33, he says, but whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. I don't have to worry of evil if I'm not hanging around with evil. I don't have to worry about going to jail if I'm not hanging around with those that are breaking the law. So it's important then that we listen to what God's saying. He's telling us who to choose for friends, isn't he? He's telling us who to choose for companions. He's telling us what crowd to listen to when they're trying to convince us to go out and get drunk. Let's not do that. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. This doesn't just happen to teenagers. I know a 40-year-old man that just celebrated his 40th birthday. And a bunch of people came around and said, let's go get drunk. And he did. And he messed up a bunch of things in his life. 40 years old. You'd think he'd know better by now, don't you? But he doesn't have a plan for his life. He doesn't know how to choose that which is right and that which is wrong. And that which will hurt us. God is telling us then, and here's the end of chapter 1. God is telling us how to have a plan. He's telling us how to follow a plan. He's telling us how to make the right choices so that when we make these choices, we make the right choice. And the plan is simple. So in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1 then is a very informative book. It's a very informative chapter that tells us what God has for us. If we listen, and what will happen to us if we don't listen. God's not saying He's going to bring judgment. He's saying that judgment just comes on a natural basis because of what we've done. Father, help us to make the right choices. Help us to follow what You have given to us.